What's up, everybody? You're listening to the Hustle and Flowchart podcast with your boys, Matt Wolf and Joe Fear.
Wiki, check wiki, wiki. It.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Hustle and Flowchart podcast. This is a very calming episode.
Yes.
So I'm not going to get too amped up and crazy for this intro because we want you to stay calm for this episode.
Oh, this is Joe Fear.
And I'm Matt Wolf.
There we go.
And thank you for tuning in. We just can't pull that off, can we?
It's impossible.
We're just trying to stay very calm and mellow. But you know who can pull it off?
Corona.
Corona Brady. Right, our guest on today's show.
She did pull it off. So we are going to go places that probably haven't really spoken about too much on this podcast, which is very good because Corona here is she's a master when it comes to kind of unlocking this potential we all have inside of us. When it comes to burnout, overwhelm, stress, all this kind of stuff, that anxiety, the stuff that we kind of walk around with all the time. And a lot of the stuff is holding us back. Obviously, stress can be good or bad. It doesn't really go away, but she unlocks how to get past that, how to find your passion, and how to use some very strategic tools, mechanisms, and things that can basically make your life feel a lot better, get you out of some health issues that you might be experiencing, crappy sleep patterns, so many different things. She's going to outline that all here on the podcast. And we actually dive into a meditation that we do together. Mm-hmm. And so we've definitely never done that before on the podcast, but you'll love it. And so Matt, anything that...
No, I mean, I think you pretty much covered it. You're gonna learn how to get past that stress, overwhelm. And one of the things I really like diving deep on was the sleep issues, because I'm not typically a morning person. And some of the exercises and things she talked about actually, were designed to help you become more of a morning person and help kind of get you in your flow early in the day. And so, really good stuff. And we were introduced to her through James Schramko, who we've had on the show a couple times now. And we did dive in a little bit on her actual business and her sort of content strategy behind her business and the app and her podcast and all the different stuff she's doing in her business. And so we get into that in the end. But the major chunk of it, the 80-20 of this episode, is really how to just get past that stress, get past that overwhelm, jump up in the morning ready to take on the day, and some exercises to accomplish that. So definitely a little bit of a change of pace, but I think you're all going to enjoy it just the same, and it is just as powerful and beneficial as any other episode we've done.
For sure. So you'll walk away with all a bunch of tools and different things to experiment with your life, and you'll love it. I know I'm taking some away and going to start applying them tonight.
Yes.
So definitely, we take the notes for you. She's going to give you a lot of actionable things here in this podcast and ways to kind of apply this to your life, because I'm sure a lot of these things you don't even know are happening. Mm-hmm. That are kind of hidden. So go to evergreenprofits.com and go download the cheat sheet that is a companion to her episode. So if you don't see Corona on the front page, just search up Corona in the search bar on there and then you'll find it. Join in for that free cheat sheet. You'll love it. We did all the hard work for you.
And if you haven't already, please subscribe to this show. We're really, really trying to ramp up this show. It's my and Joe's goal to make this show our main thing, our main focus. And the way we get to do that is if you're enjoying this, subscribe, review, all that kind of stuff really helps spread the love of this show for us. Mm-hmm. So we'd really, really appreciate that.
Thank you in advance.
And let's go ahead and jump over and chat with Corona.
Let's do this. Hey, Corona. Thanks for hopping on the show with us here.
Hey, how are you? Thank you so much for having me today.
You're very welcome. Yeah. We got introduced by our mutual buddy, James Schramko.
Yeah. James is a great guy.
I know. He's like I think we're starting to do, well, we kind of agreed that we're going to do some recurring shows with him. We just had one a couple weeks ago, and it lasted for like 2 hours. We just couldn't stop talking.
Yeah,
lots to talk about.
He's kind of become a booking agent for us too. He's like helping us find all sorts of awesome people to bring on the show and chat with. And
he's a good guy.
I think that's how we got connected initially.
It definitely is.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, which is fantastic.
Cool. Well, you're out there in Australia, but Matt picked up that you're not a native Australian.
Well, in my head, I was thinking she sounds Irish to me, but I didn't want to sound stupid and say, "Are you actually from Ireland?" And that, because I did this the other day, we were at an event and I walked up to somebody and I said, "You're definitely a Kiwi. You're definitely from New Zealand. I can tell in your voice." And he's like, "No, I'm from Australia." And I'm like, "Okay, I feel stupid now." So now I just don't assume.
Yeah, no, I'm Irish, but yeah, my accent is hard to pick up because I've been living in Australia. Gosh, I think it's coming up on maybe 14 years now. So yeah, you can hear the Irish accent, I think, every so often, but it has a little bit of the sing-along Australian accent in there as well, where I sing on the notes.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a unique mix. You know? Yeah. So, yeah, so tell us a little bit about, because you're doing a lot of similar things to us, but I know you have your own, you know, forte there that, you know, you're kind of, you train a lot of women in burnout, stress, overwhelm, and how to get past that. Obviously, that can relate to guys listening as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, give us a little backstory of yourself, you know, your background and how you got to where you're at now.
Yeah, I'd love to. So, I'm a life coach and I'm a mind detox therapist, and I'm also a senior Kundalini yoga teacher. And I've moved to Australia probably about close to 14 years ago. And at that time, I was working in corporate. Seems like a lifetime ago. I set up my business close to 9 years ago, and I'm the founder of Energy for Life Academy, which is really a group coaching program for women where I teach women how to reclaim their energy, their innate power, and their self-worth. So my passion is, it's really about being able to support women to just squeeze the absolute juice out of their life so that they can really live a full, vital, energetic, passionate life. And so that they can really go after those goals. They can achieve those unique goals and dreams in life. Gosh, I've coached women from all over the world, over probably I'd say 5 continents, and yeah, I feel really, really blessed. I feel really grateful to do this work, and I'm really, really passionate about being able to transform women's lives. But I guess, you know, that's not how it was always for me, because as I mentioned, my background is actually corporate banking, and I probably spent about close to 12 years climbing the corporate ladder, and without ever really kind of having words for it, I was kind of that little girl who grew up really unconsciously pursuing that masculine brand of strength. And from a very young age, I was quite sensitive, so I could always kind of tune into people's feelings and thoughts around me. But from a really young age, my body just was resisting, pushing, constricting, suppressing, and I was very, very anxious. And so I spent years just, you know, climbing the corporate ladder, but really underneath it all, I think I was trying to prove to myself that I could be somebody. And I had this kind of thought always running in the back of my head: once I get that management position, then I'm going to be really happy. Then I'm going to be really fulfilled. And I'll make my parents really proud, and I'll feel worthy, and I'll feel really good about myself. But the truth is, I was miserable working in banking for years. And I felt like I was just dying a slow death internally. And I knew that there was more to life, but I didn't know what that was, what that looked like. And so when I eventually got that management position, I actually very quickly realized that this was not what I wanted. I was completely stressed out. I was burnt out, depleted, really numb, and very, very empty and anxious and depressed internally. And that role, it only lasted a couple of months. But during that time, I was really an anxious mess. And that's really when I reached rock bottom. I burnt out completely. And my health really suffered big time. And I was in work one day and I just heard this voice. It came from within me and it really instructed me to leave my job or I'd be seriously ill. Mm. And at that point, I could really feel something like a disease was manifesting inside of me, and it would only be a matter of time. And at that time, I was already sick. I was completely burnt out. My endocrine system had completely shut down. I had liver damage. I was just constantly fatigued. I had menstrual issues, hormonal issues, blood sugar issues. And I had been diagnosed with insulin resistance, which is literally on the verge of diabetes.
Oh, wow.
And PCOS as well. And yeah, at that time, I think I had two choices. I could just medicate, which I was put on medication at that time, or I could just really take an honest look at my life and reassess. Yeah. And that's when I chose to reassess. And that's when my own healing journey began. And that would have been in my late 20s, 26, 27. Mm-hmm. Wow. And I'm now, what age? 38, close to 38.
Yeah.
So that's, it's been a long journey.
Yeah, but that's, and what you described is one that I feel like most people, it doesn't matter if you're, you know, a guy or a woman, is that you're going through a very similar process, especially like you said, something like you're trying to kind of prove it to yourself and other people that you are something in life. And a lot of that is status. It could be money or, you know, yeah, some corporate-y thing. Because I did that path. I was in the corporate world for a while. Matt and I also worked at his parents' company for a while. And but yeah, we both realized we're like, that, this isn't our calling. This isn't what lights us up every morning when we wake up. It's like, no, probably rushing to work or dreading to wake up early, and which we'll talk about later. So it's not a dread anymore. But yeah, no, it's... It's fascinating. And yeah, it's a struggle I think a lot of people are dealing with, and doesn't matter who you are, that unless you take a hold of that in different ways and realize that, you're kind of stuck there unless you take action. Yeah,
absolutely. And, you know, if I look back at that time as well, I just didn't know how to be in my body. You know, that thought to just sit and be with whatever was going on internally just scared the living daylights out of me. So I've spent so much time just escaping my body through binge drinking, shopping, extreme exercise, food, you know, every distraction under the sun I pretty much had mastered.
Oh man. So was that a time when you moved to Australia? Like, was that around that the was, transition?
Yeah, it was a couple of years after that. So it was about maybe three or four years after that.
Gotcha. Wow.
So what sort of things did you do? What sort of, what stuff do you teach your clients, and what stuff did you learn during this whole process to help you sort of overcome and get beyond this phase in your life and start feeling better about yourself and start feeling better about your path that you're on?
Yeah, so I spent a couple of years working with an incredible naturopath. And really what she did was she really helped me take my whole body back into balance, because I was just out of balance. And I really just learned how to nourish myself again through really great food, whole food, you know, food that's closest to nature. Because during that time, I was actually living off rabbit salads. You know, that was my diet. It was like a salad, toast, and chocolate, and then wine. But then what I also did was I incorporated many other healing modalities like yoga, breathwork, meditation, emotional healing, inner child work, mindset work. And, you know, then when I healed myself, you know, I was so committed and dedicating to healing myself that I did do it. I was able to heal the insulin resistance and my hormones, everything came back into balance. And when I was able to do that, I just realized, gosh, there's so many other women out there going through what I'm going through, and I don't want them to get to that place. And I realized as well that if I can do this, anybody can do it. And, you know, doctors told me at the time I'd be on medication for life, but wow. I knew I could change that, and I did. So I guess, yeah, you don't always believe what doctors tell you. You have to do your own research. That's and you have truth. To follow your own intuition.
Yeah. And this is, and just to tell the listeners really quick, this is definitely a different style of podcast that, you know, we typically will do here, but it's something I feel like most of us have gone through mm-hmm. in some phase mm-hmm. or another. Maybe it's business, maybe it's personal life or financial, who knows what it could be. So that's why, you know, I think this is a super valuable kind of change a little bit for the flow of our normal shows, because it's something that we wanted to bring up. Because I feel like a lot of folks will kind of stuff it away or just kind of live with this anxiousness that they just think is, okay, well, that's the new normal, I guess. You know, I'm just living with this pit in my stomach or this bad, you know, this, with this thing I'm doing that I'm not really passionate about, this business or whatever it is. So I know we've been there, Matt and I have, you know, and even in the course of owning our own business, you know, we'll kind of pivot or start and stop things because we're like, it just doesn't feel right. And so you're kind of hitting this on the head. It's that invisible thing that we're all kind of walking around with. So what how was it that you found, obviously you had a very deliberate reason why you changed, but what was your, so what were the steps you took? I know you said meditation, healthy eating. How did you?
Well, I'm actually curious, before you answer that one, was there some sort of catalyst, like final straw, where you just thought to yourself, okay, this is it, something needs to change?
I think, you know, when I was working in corporate life, I knew that that was not my calling. You know, I had that kind of feeling for a long time, but I didn't know what to do. And I guess I always had an interest in healing, in natural forms of healing. And the catalyst for me really was that day, hearing that voice and just having those feelings of just continuous panic, continuous feelings of anxiety, and continuous feelings of dread going into work every day. And also feeling like I had to kind of put a mask on as well. I couldn't really be my true self.
Yeah, that's actually a biggie, because I can relate to that. Is, you know, and I was in the corporate space, not really so much when Matt and I were working together, because I was a little bit more flexible. But in the corporate space, you definitely have to be like this person
that's
in the
right.
box, almost like, oh, yeah. Maybe it's not a tie, which I like to call it an upside down noose, like back in the day. But like, you know, you have to look a certain way, be there at a certain time, do this certain thing, sit in a certain place. It's like, and then I remember for me personally, I was walking through this this place in downtown San Diego, and like all the people that were there for 20 plus years just looked like zombies. Like the life was sucked out of them. And that was like, no, hell no, that's not going to be me. Like, I got to make a change. And that was my point. Like, kind of, I wasn't, luckily I didn't have health issues, but I was just like, no, shit. I'm like, not me.
Or maybe there were health issues, but maybe you just didn't attach them to that.
Possible.
You know.
Yeah. So.
Because I think, you know, another aspect, and we may get into this in a bit, is a lot of times when you have a lot of stress and you have a lot of anxiety and there's a lot of this stuff sort of piling up mentally, it sort of manifests itself into pain elsewhere in your body. You know, like there's so many scenarios where, you know, somebody's, you know, neck is just killing them for months and months and months, and then they like, you know, quit their job and that stress releases from their neck, you know?
It's interesting you bring up the neck thing, because I used to have a lot of neck pain. So maybe that's it. It's interesting. So how do you walk folks through getting out of a point in their life? Like, so I guess let me rephrase this. Are people going to you unknowing that they need this change in their life, or are they already aware?
Oh, they're aware. Yeah. Okay. You know, they're aware. Like when a woman kind of enters my world, she's just, a lot of the time she's just feeling really hungry mm-hmm. for something, mm-hmm. but a lot of the time she can't even maybe explain what that hunger is. And, you know, she might have done everything right in life, and she has, you know, and especially to what society says, like climbing the corporate ladder, you know, getting that perfect job, getting the perfect pay. And she might have even spent maybe years pursuing all of the external stuff, which has now just kind of left her feeling very dry and very empty. And she might have gotten married, she might have had the kids. She's ticked all of the boxes. You know, she has the house, she's got the nice car, and all the things that she's kind of ever wanted in life, or she kind of thought she wanted or needed to have. But there's just this continuous feeling like something is missing. She feels just empty. She feels lost. She feels stuck. And her path is just kind of lacking heart on some level.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. And yeah, well, maybe Matt and I was just thinking of, because we can like hold it up for the guys that are listening, you know, it's like, yeah. You know, because we both share very similar things. This can be a cool dynamic, actually. Yeah. But yeah, you're right. I could see like maybe we don't all have the same indications, but I know Matt and I have definitely, like, if you don't have a purpose behind what you're doing, that's a pretty good indication that maybe you should reassess.
Absolutely, yeah.
Now, do you think like these sort of feelings of stress and anxiety and overwhelm over what you're doing, do you think that they're, you can pretty much eradicate them forever? Or is it like you figure out how to minimize them so that they just happen less frequently?
Yeah, that's right. I don't think you can ever get rid of anything. Yeah. you know, because stress is always going to be in your life. If you don't have stress in your life, well, you're not really kind of living, right? Mm. If your life is completely stress-free, it's just not possible. But it's learning how to manage the stress. It's learning how to cope with the stress. It's having tools, and it's having routines and beautiful rituals in your life to support you. Mm. And so that stress isn't so overwhelming.
Yeah.
Good to hear, because I'm still stressed out a lot of times.
Well, I think, you know, that's part of the entrepreneurial journey, right?
Yeah. Well, there's good stress, bad stress. And
yeah.
But it is interesting. You hear these books or these people touting products who are like, live a stress-free life. It's like, bullshit. But you bring up a very good point. It's like, yeah, you could try to be as, you know, whatever passionate in your stuff, but it's, life isn't just all, you know, gravy or, you know,
bed of roses. Yeah.
Exactly. See? So what are some common indicators that you see from the women that go to you? Like a lot of corporate folks.
Some of the signs, I guess, mm-hmm. for people really to look out for, is if you're feeling consistently physically drained, okay, you're feeling just tired all the time. And also know that like exhaustion can be physical, it can be mental, and it can also be emotional. And so it's just kind of this continuous feeling like you have no energy for anything and you feel spent all the time. Or, you know, another sign could be you consistently feel unmotivated. You just don't feel excited. You don't feel enthusiastic about anything in your life anymore. And, you know, maybe those things that used to light you up, they no longer do that for you. Or, you know, another sign could be you really struggle to get going in the morning. You just can't get up. It's like your legs feel like heavy and dead in the bed. And you might be a snoozer. So the alarm goes off and you just hit snooze for an hour or maybe 2 hours. And then eventually you drag your weary body out of bed and you go straight for the coffee. You go straight for a hit of energy. Or another sign of burnout could be just consistently experiencing negative feelings. And just this sense of inner frustration, or you're just kind of noticing yourself more and more triggered by your environment, more and more triggered by others. Mm-hmm. And you might even have thoughts such as, oh, what's the point anymore? Or why bother? And of course, I'm not saying that, you know, we don't experience negative emotions. We all do. We all experience them from time to time. But if you're just noticing yourself being more pessimistic on a consistent basis, this might be a red flag for you. Or another sign could be lacking focus. This is a big one. Lacking concentration. You might find yourself just noticing lately, it's very hard for you to make simple daily decisions, or you wake up with fog. This is very common, just a lot of brain fog where you just can't think clearly. And you also seem to be in your sympathetic nervous system more often than not. So that's the fight or flight. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this has a negative effect on you being able to really problem solve in the moment and make those simple decisions. Another clue of burnout can be just forgetfulness, just forgetting simple things. Another one could be, you know, you're starting to notice problems arising in other areas of your life, like maybe your relationships are starting to break down, you know, communication and intimacy, or you're more triggered and you're having more and more arguments, or you're noticing yourself just withdrawing from relationships or withdrawing from life or withdrawing from talking to loved ones or family members, or when you are in their presence, you're not there fully, like you're not fully present.
Another one
could be you're just not taking care of yourself. So you have just no self-care. You might be caught up in very unhealthy coping strategies, like just drinking many cups of coffee throughout the day, or eating a lot of sugar, or eating a lot of refined foods or processed foods or takeaway foods, or drinking alcohol is a big one. So, you know, really relying on a glass of wine every evening at the end of the day to de-stress, or relying on sleeping pills for you to fall asleep at night, and not getting enough sleep, having no routines, no rituals. But what I see then, what can happen, and I see this a lot in women, is that health problems then can start to seep in, because over time, serious chronic stress can really create havoc in your body. Like, I see a lot of women with digestive issues, gut problems, mental health issues, anxiety, depression, and weight gain, obesity, diabetes, and even and heart disease, you know, so it's serious.
Sure. Yeah. And I've heard of many guys experiencing the same exact thing. And so what are some processes once people are aware of this? Is there kind of a path that you take them down and kind of start to change them around?
Yes, absolutely. So the kind of the journey that I take women on is a big part of my work is actually really teaching her how to take care of herself. Because up until now, she has really no self-care. And when I say self-care, I'm not talking about like going and having a blow dry or going and having a pedicure or, you know, going to a spa. Yeah, that's lovely. But I'm talking about like daily sacred rituals, where you're actually learning how to fill up your own cup. And that begins with a morning ritual. And it's, you know, because how you choose to start your day, those rituals that you choose to start your day with, that really is going to affect the rest of your day. Because if you're getting up, you know, to the alarm clock and you're hitting it for an hour or 2 hours on snooze, and then finally you're getting up, you're feeling stressed, you're busy, you're rushing, you're grabbing the coffee, then think about that stress and busyness that you're already starting your day with. And that's kind of how your day continues. So what I really get women doing straight away is actually learning how to master their morning and through a sacred self-care practice that has many core elements inside that, like breath work and exercise, like stretching. I bring Kundalini yoga into the work that I do because it's incredibly transformative and it's very healing for the nervous system and the endocrine system. And you really notice shifts instantly. And it's, you know, Kundalini yoga is all about really moving your energy. And then also showing her how to start mastering her evening. Because in order for you to be able to get up in the morning, you have to be winding down properly in the evening.
Yeah.
Especially if you've got like a busy life and you're juggling, you know, many balls in the air, like family commitments and business or work and all of these hats that we wear in a day. It's really important that you're winding down with an evening ritual. And then it's really helping her with her mindset, like really looking at some of those stories, the beliefs, and really focusing on detoxing the mind.
Hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. Well, I know what we were talking about earlier is that you have kind of a process for creating people to be more morning friendly, you know, like basically. Because we were chatting about how, like, yeah, Matt and I, you know, we like waking up early, but not consistently.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, when you were listing some of the symptoms there, there was like a handful that I know, like, oh, I get that one.
Yeah.
Yep, that one. I get that too. And definitely the sleep thing. And then the second I get up, all right, straight to my coffee. Don't talk to me until I get my coffee. That's me to this day. So
that's true. A normal one, I think, for many, many people.
Yep.
So what would you suggest?
But there are other ways. Like, yeah, there's other ways to tap into that energy. And you can do that through breath work, you know? Mm-hmm. So instead of going straight for the coffee, you know, get on your mat, and you don't have to sit there for an hour or 2 hours. You know, this is the great thing about, especially the Kundalini meditations and breath work, 3 minutes. You know, everyone has 3 minutes. You've got no excuse if you can't give yourself 3 minutes.
No.
And, you know, that will give you energy for the day.
I love it. Now, this may be a dumb question. I'm not familiar with Kundalini yoga. Can you explain how that is that different than just normal yoga?
Yes. Yeah, it's a beautiful practice. Yeah, and it's Kundalini yoga, and it was brought to the West by Yogi Vajan. And it's, yeah, it's very different practice to other forms of yoga. What I love most about this practice is that you do the practice with your eyes closed. The eyes are not opened. You're dropping deeply within, really supporting you to have that connection to self, supporting you to have that connection with your spirit. And the practice is very balancing for your glandular system. It's very strengthening for your nervous system. It's a workout for all of your organs. And it's really about moving the energy, because the Kundalini is the energy that sits at the base of the spine. Every single human being, men and women, all have this energy. And this energy is really your birthright. And it sits at the base of the spine, but many people never even know it's there. They never tap into it. Which is really sad, because when you start to awaken this energy, it gives you so much energy. And that energy is the creative life force. And when you tap into that, you are really tapping into your potential. And then you can use that in whatever area of your life you want to see positive change in. And a lot of the women that I work with, they use this for their business because it gives them a lot of creative ideas, insights, inspiration, and they plug that into the areas of their life they want to see positive change happening in.
Yeah, that's so. Would that be, is it fairly simple to walk us through something like that here? Or
yes, I'd love to. Yes, okay. Absolutely. Yeah, there's actually a really beautiful breathing practice that I would love to introduce you to. And it's called Breath of Fire. And it's very powerful breath work. It's quite fast. It has a rhythm to it, and it's a continuous breath. And we do the breath through the nostrils, the mouth is closed, and the breath is really powered from your navel point, from your solar plexus. And I just want to give you just some, you know, benefits of this breath work today. And what you know, 3 minutes, okay? That's all you even need. 3 minutes of this. And you can do this, by the way, many times throughout the day. So if you're noticing at lunchtime or in the afternoon, you have a bit of a slump and you're reaching for the coffee or you're reaching for the sugar, this is a great time to do the Bread of Fire.
Perfect.
And what the breathing exercise does is it really strengthens your nervous system, and that helps you with stress management. It releases toxins, and it repairs balance between the sympathetic and the parasympathetic nervous system. It also expands your lung capacity, and it strengthens your magnetic field, and it also boosts your immune system. There are so many benefits. I could go on.
That's good. Well, let me warn.
And one more I should say, actually, which would be good, is it reduces your addictive impulses for smoking, bad foods, alcohol, etc. I think that's a good one to mention.
That is a good one. Yeah, because that's common for a lot of folks. Before you walk us through it, just a little disclaimer. If you're driving, obviously don't do this. Wait until you're somewhere safe.
Yeah.
just so very important that you're
just doing this and nothing else. And that's really important. Yeah, that you're not doing other things while you're doing the breath work, because you're moving a lot of energy, and it's important that you're sitting somewhere quiet as well.
Perfect. Well, if you think we're ready, I'd like to give it a shot here. And,
yes,
and folks
absolutely.
Listening along, definitely follow along, you know, and get ready.
Yes. So I guess just before you begin any breathing practice is always to make sure that you're sitting in a comfortable seated position. And this does not mean you have to sit in a yoga lotus pose on the ground. You can sit in a chair. And make sure that your knees are uncrossed so that you increase the flow of energy throughout the body, so that your feet are flat on the ground. And make sure that the spine is fully supported and you feel relaxed. You're relaxing your shoulders and you're just relaxing your body. And the first step is to just bring your hands into a prayer position. And you're letting your hands rest in a prayer position in front of the heart. And then just begin by closing your eyes. So closing your eyes, but if you could just imagine this. With the eyes closed, you're going to roll your eye gaze up and you're going to concentrate at the brow point. Now, the brow point is literally that point between your eyebrows. That's your third eye center. And this is a point that we gaze a lot to in Kundalini yoga. So with the eyes closed, you're just bringing the gaze up to that point. And just so that you can really understand the rhythm for this breath work, is I'd like you to stick out your tongue and just start panting like a dog. Okay, I know it might sound a little crazy, but stick your tongue out and start panting like a dog. So as you're doing that, you're noticing the belly is rising in and out. And then you're going to close your mouth now. And you're breathing in and out through the nostrils, but just keeping that pumping action happening in the belly. So you should notice that pumping action happening in the belly. It's a fast pumping action. Start as slow as you need to. And you're just breathing in and out through the nostrils, equal inhale and exhale. Just keep going. Keeping that pumping action going with the belly. And then inhale here. Just hold that breath and just apply your root lock. And what I mean by this is you're just going to squeeze your rectum, your sex organs, and your navels, holding the breath and drawing and squeezing the energy from the base up to the higher centers. Just keep holding the breath. And then exhale. And just place the hands on your knees. Palms are up and just relax, feeling that natural shift in your state, in your energy field. Just watching the natural flow of the breath. Just observing those internal and external sensations. And then inhale deeply here. Exhale fully. And when you're ready, just start to open your eyes again slowly, bringing some light back in. And then just always taking care before you move into the next thing that you're about to do for your day. Just moving with ease and moving gently. So we did that there for close to a minute. You know, you could do that for 3 minutes. It can be done for 1 to 3 minutes and short. Like, that's how short you can do that breath work in. But you can absolutely increase it up to 10 minutes, 15 minutes if you wanted to really reap the benefits.
Wow. Yeah. Now I could feel, because I've done something like this before, but it kind of forces you, or at least now I could feel like I could breathe a little deeper.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Be lighter. That's something I used to do a lot of, is just deep breaths all the way down to pretty much as deep as you can go. Because I feel like naturally, I know I'll breathe kind of shorter where it's just in my chest. But if you bring it down lower, just like this just did, it's like almost just lets the stress just go away, or the tension.
Yeah, that's right. Because when we're stressed, that's where we're breathing. It's very shallow. It's in the chest. Mm-hmm. So if you can remember in that moment to actually check in, notice how you're breathing, and then direct it down, like right down to the navel point.
Yeah. That's awesome. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And you said you had some other meditations. Can you let us know about that Insight app? A little bit.
Oh, yes, yes. So I just added some meditations to the free. There's a wonderful free Insight app. And if your listeners don't know about this, you can download it from the iTunes store. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the largest free meditation apps out there. And come and find me, Corona Brady. I just uploaded a beautiful yoga nidra meditation, which would be perfect for your listeners. And in terms of winding down in the evening, this is a great meditation, short meditation to do in the evening to wind down to. Awesome. And the app has got so many teachers and meditations on it, and they're all free.
Yeah, no, that's a good app. I used to use it a lot. And like, just like you said, it's free. It's totally free. And you can do it, you know, some have audio or, you know, a voice guiding you, and some don't.
Yeah. But yes, that's right.
We'll link to that. Patty, who does our show notes and listens to all these for Cheat Sheets, she's actually probably going to love this episode. This is totally her. And I'm sure she probably uses it. But so I want to go back really quick, just a little change to the morning. You know, like kind of shifting selfishly, how to shift yourself to be more of a morning person and not have it be such of a strain. And you said you kind of have a process for that.
Yeah, because, you know, many of the women that come to me, and that's a common, a common statement that they share, or concern that they share. Before coming on board working with me, is I'm not a morning person. I've never been a morning person. It's not going to be possible for me to get up and, start my mornings in this way. And that's just a story. It's an old story and it's an old belief. And the truth is that anybody can become a morning person, because every woman I bring through my Energy for Life Academy program, and, you know, if she's arrived telling me that story by the end of the 8 weeks, she is now a morning person.
Nice.
And you have to first look at what you're doing in the evening. Because something to know that many people aren't aware of is that the most restorative hours of sleep are between 10 p.m. and 1 a.m. So 10 p.m. and 1 a.m. So if you're getting to sleep or getting to bed close to midnight or after it, well, you know, think about that. Do the maths work. And that means that you're missing many of those hours, those crucial hours. And they are crucial hours for your body going into repair and healing. This is when your organs do the repair and healing work for the day. So if you're missing those hours, it doesn't really matter what time you go to bed at. Say, let's say you're in bed by midnight and you're getting 8 hours sleep, you're never going to feel fully refreshed. And you're always going to feel like you're catching up. And so this is what we kind of look at first. We look at kind of what time is she getting in bed at? And that's where we put the focus on making some changes to her current unsupportive habits.
Is that because of the circadian rhythm?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, because I know I've used to, you're totally right. And I know it's, you could probably explain it way better, but there's a lot of, it's basically going along with the sun and the moon and kind of the cycles of the earth.
Exactly right. Yeah.
And there's a lot of...
So if you go against those, well, yeah, it's going to have a lot of harm on your body. And it's like, well, think of that wear and tear. You know, that's really what's going to cause the chronic disease and illness over, you know, if you're doing that over an extended period of time.
Yeah, and there's a lot of folks, Omari, listening. There's some really avid listeners and good buddies of ours that will hustle and grind until 2, 3 a.m. and then get up the next morning at 9 or so, you know, and pretty much do it again. And I know I've done that before, Matt. You used to be very late night guy before you had kids.
Yeah, but kids change that.
Yeah. They will help you force yourself into bed. But yeah, it's because that's it can last for a little bit. You know, yeah, maybe feel all right. But I know it takes a toll on your body and your brain. You're not functioning at your peak potential.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Yeah.
Yeah. So what? So you have them? Is that? Would like if you're thinking 80-20, is it mainly get to bed early, you know, get to bed by 10 or get sleeping?
Yeah,
by 10.
But also have a wind down practice, you know, because especially if you're a busy person with a busy life, there has to be a way that you're winding down, that, you know, you're letting go of some of that stress and busyness from your day. And so, you know, doing that through supportive wind down rituals and practice. That's crucial. That's really important.
Do you have like an example of like what a wind down practice would look like?
Yeah, absolutely. So, a wind down practice could look like, you know, turning off screens, getting yourself off screens, you know, having a cutoff time, say, you know, that you're off computers, you're off TV screens by say 7 p.m., 8 p.m. and you're sticking to that. And then, you know, it could be making a cup of herbal tea and maybe doing some journaling. And this is a really powerful way to just assess your day. Like, what were some great learnings from today? What did I do really well at? And what did I not do so good at? Where can I improve for tomorrow? And that's a great way to just assess and review your day or even express gratitude. Like, what were three really great things that happened to me today? Or how did I serve today? How did I show up today? You could run a bath. This is a lovely way to wind down, or have a shower if you don't have a bath. Or you could put your feet in water, so you could have a little foot bath. You could do a meditation, you could do some stretching, light stretching, and you could go for a walk, you know, you could get close to water. Yeah.
Lots of good stuff there. Yeah, because I know that's the most difficult thing that we all struggle with is there are screens everywhere.
Yeah. More and more now.
Dear God. Yeah, I've said it many times on the podcast, but it's like I want to one day, I don't know, maybe I'll convert Matt one day, is to do like at least a 2 to 4 week type getaway with no screens.
Oh, yeah.
And just like a reset.
It's. I actually had something like that recently. I did a vision quest where I went out. I went out into nature for 12 days, and 3 of those days were done alone, while fasting on water and just being completely in nature, rising with the sun, going to bed as the sunset every day, but no computer, no screens, and. Oh my gosh, it was just so healing on every level.
Yeah, and that's, I know, you know, we both, you know, like I work out a lot, Matt will walk a lot at night, and it's just some of the most grounding. You could think deeper, you know, it gets you out of your little bubble of an office or your screen if you're just staring at that all day. Like, it drives me nuts if I don't go outside enough to get some sun, and or at night, you know, it's just peaceful, but... Yeah, I think this serves, like a lot of these little tactics serve as a good reminder for us that just kind of just keep at it every single day, growing businesses or creating the best life we can. But we tend to ignore us a lot of times.
Yeah. I know this is almost a little bit of an abrupt topic shift, but I
how dare you.
But there was a few other things I wanted to touch on because, you know,
you
do run a very successful business yourself as well, and I would love to kind of get a few little insights before we wrap up about your actual business as well, because I know you've got a podcast, you've got an app, you put on retreats. You know,
I'm a busy lady.
You've got courses. You've been featured in the media. You know, there's so much cool stuff that you've accomplished and you've created with your business. And you know, some of those little things I wouldn't mind kind of touching on for a minute. Probably starting with the earned media aspect. I know you've been sort of featured in some larger media, and I'm kind of curious about how some of that kind of stuff came about.
Yeah, that I'm so blessed. You know, I just really put it out there. I think the power of intention. You know, I put an intention out there because I really want to, I have a big mission, and I really want to get my work to as many women as possible, because I know there's just so many women out there struggling with many of these issues that we've spoken about today. And I was just approached by the media and given these beautiful and wonderful opportunities.
Love it. So,
you know, there was no hustle for me in that regard. Like it all came to me.
Yeah. I mean, that kind of
stuff. What I'm trying to say. Yeah.
That kind of stuff tends to happen when you put amazing work into the world. People find it and want to know more and want to feature you on their platforms.
Yeah.
Now with your podcast, what sort of, I'm assuming the theme of the podcast is a lot of the same types of topics that we had here. How has the podcast impacted your business? What, you know, why did you decide to add a podcast into the mix, I guess?
I think, you know, I had received a lot of different feedback about my voice, and many people have said to me over the years that I've got a very calming, soothing voice, and it would be a great way for me to, you know, get out there to women with my message. The podcast, with the help of James Franco, I put that together nearly a year ago now. And my intention with that was, because all the women that I support are very busy. You know, they're just juggling so many hats. They have their own businesses, or they're transitioning out of corporate to set up their own business, and they're time poor. So what I wanted to do, and my intention with the podcast show, was to create short kind of highly valuable podcast episodes. So you won't find an episode longer than like 20 minutes. All of my episodes run from, say, 3 minutes to maybe say, I think 18, 20, 25 minutes is the max. Mm. So I try to keep them within the 30 minutes. But I'm really adding as much value as possible. And my intention is that, you know, through hoping that, you know, the podcast show will reach the right women, and that will then enable them to come on board working with me to see the value in my work.
Mm, yeah, podcasts. I mean, obviously we love them. But yeah, they've turned into, and maybe this is becoming like for you too, is like the best form of creating content and putting that value out there, because you can turn that into pretty much any other medium you can think of.
That's right.
Very quickly. Yeah. So props to you on doing that.
How about Thank you.
Yeah. How about the app itself? I know that was an influence by James as well.
Yeah. Also by James. Yeah. The app. My intention behind that was really to create something for our paid members. And, you know, because again, a lot of the women that I support and work with are so busy, and the app is, you know, it just means that they don't have to be sitting at a PC or a laptop to do my program or to listen to the podcast episodes, that they can do all of this from their mobile phone while they're driving in the car and while they're doing other things like maybe exercising or walking. And it just allows them to use their time and manage their time in a better way.
I love it. I mean, you're giving people so many options to be able to do this stuff, right? They can do the podcast while they're out for a walk or driving in their car. They can, you know, they have the app if they're, you know, sitting
meditations
around.
I'm sure. Yeah.
You just give them a lot of options.
And it's good then also for women who aren't, you know, part of our programs yet. It's a great way for that, because, you know, the app is free, so they just download it. And it's a great way for them to just connect in with my work, because there's so many free articles. I have a free online seminar. You know, I've close to 40 episodes on the podcast show that we upload all of our events to the app. So, you know, they can connect with me in that way first before they decide to, you know, make an investment and come on as a member.
Where can they find all that stuff from you?
Yes. So, my website is coronabrady.com. And on my website, there, if you just click on podcast, that literally has all of the podcast episodes. But they can also find my Energy for Life podcast with Corona Brady on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and Podbean.
Nice. I'm curious, because obviously you are very angled to helping women. Do you know of a good men resource, you know, for us guys? I know Insight Time, you know, that app that you mentioned is a great one for everybody.
Yes.
And if you don't have one, that's fine too.
I'm just trying to think.
Yeah. It's like I want to support the 50% or so.
Yeah, I get asked this question actually quite a bit, and yes, I don't, I'm afraid. Yeah, the Insight app, I think, would be great, because, yeah, that's for men and women. You can, you know, absolutely. And, you know, absolutely, they can, you know, start listening to my podcast show. Maybe it would support them on some level. It's, you know, some of the things I talk about are actually for men as well.
Yeah. Oh, no, a lot of this stuff. I mean, just that that meditation we just did together. It still is leaving me more calm and less, you know, because I'm pretty quick moving usually. And I'm like, on these podcasts, just to give you guys visuals, I'm usually the one pacing back and forth because I'm thinking it's just how, but I'm like, I've just been sitting the whole time nice and calm and soothed. So you're doing something right. So it works for us guys too.
Good.
Matt, any other things to wrap up here?
Yeah. Do you have any book recommendations that maybe you refer back to often, or that you find yourself recommending to other people often?
Yeah, I guess, well, two books that have really impacted myself for life and business is actually one of the first personal development books I ever read. And it's really stuck with me on my journey. Mm-hmm. And it's a great book called Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway by Susan Jeffers. Mm-hmm. And yeah, this was one of the very first self-help books I read, I think when I was like 19. And the learnings from this book just have always stayed with me in terms of just when fear arises, to just feel it and to allow it to move through rather than allowing it to keep you stuck. Because the only way to conquer fear is you have to face it. And the book's real message is that you can't wait for the fear to go away, to magically disappear one day. To do something, to take action. And I, at the time when I read this book, I was riddled in anxiety, especially social anxiety. And the book just really changed my life. And I go back to it to this day.
Wow.
Yeah, that's
you
nice.
Know,
that's
just even one. For my life and then business decisions as well.
It's all related. That's in the, And Matt, I saw you. Yeah, you have it on your shelf.
I do
there.
Actually have it on my bookshelf. This is one of these books that I bought at one point, but I don't think I've actually read yet.
Matt, guilty.
Because everybody we know has read every book they have, right?
No. Matt's a good avid reader. So he's maybe that's a good one. But I wrote that down.
And you said there was a second book too?
Oh.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm sure your listeners know this one. It's a very popular one, The 4-Hour Work Week.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this book just really opened my mind to new ways of how I could really create and operate my business. And yeah, for me, it's really been a total life changer because it's about really kind of escaping that mindset of having to, you know, hustle and grind for the 9-to-5. And there's a lot of gems inside this book. It really opens your mind to creating the freedom and the lifestyle that you desire.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, before reading that book, I was probably very caught in just that busyness, but really being busy and not really kind of producing the results that I desired.
Yeah, that's one of those books that I know tons of people, most people here listening have read it, but that doesn't diminish it one bit because, like you said, I'm almost curious, like just for myself, I kind of want to reread it because it is that mind shift. And it's one of those things, if you read books like, you know, 5-10 years later, whatever it might be, you are going to be in a totally different place.
That's
but
right.
Those lessons are going to pop out. So I'm just kind of curious for myself. I kind of want to pick it up again.
And quite honestly, the 4-Hour Work Week was one of our catalysts for, you know, getting into business ourselves. I think we started our own online business maybe about a year before that book came out. Mm-hmm. But that book really sort of changed our perspective on everything from for us at the time, it was from the outsourcing perspective, not trying to do everything ourselves.
Yeah. But, yeah. And likewise. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because I think I was caught in that, you know, story that I have to do everything myself.
Totally. Yeah. That's the typical entrepreneur.
It is. I'm sure I have to wear all of these hats and be an expert at all of these things.
Well, Corona, this has been amazing, and I'm happy that we had you on the show. It's something different, but it was definitely very necessary for every single person, and definitely check out. We're going to link a bunch of stuff in the show notes, so if you're driving around or whatever, definitely go check out Evergreen Profits and find Corona's episode. You'll have it all there.
And the website again is coronabrady.com. And
that's right. Yeah. And everything's there. They can download the app. They can start listening to the podcast show. And they can even watch a free online seminar, which I have on my website, which is, and this can be for the men as well, by the way, to eliminate fatigue and gain true life energy in 5 simple steps.
It works.
So men and women can watch that.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much. And
thank you so much for having me. It was such an honor.
For sure. Well, take care and we'll chat soon.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you. And I hope you just enjoyed this episode you just listened to. Now, right now, before we sign off, I have a few things I would love for you to do. So the very first thing is to go find our guest on Facebook and tell them that you loved their episode with us. That's going to help them just feel good about themselves, but also it's going to spread the word a little bit more for us. So go find them on Facebook. Everybody's on Facebook. And go say that you love their episode and maybe one cool thing that you learned there. The second thing is to go to iTunes and subscribe to our podcast. Just look up Hustle and Flowchart and hit the subscribe button. And the very last thing, the third thing, is to leave us a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to this podcast and help us spread the word more. That's how more people are going to get this awesome knowledge, this cool podcast training, and a whole bunch of other cool free training that we give out at evergreenprofits.com. So that's about it. Go find them on Facebook, go subscribe on iTunes, and leave us a review. You would be amazing if you did that, but you're always amazing. So thanks for listening, and we'll catch you in the next episode.